Hey, Cavity Creeps, this is Jeremy. Welcome back to Candy Teeth Radio. I want to dedicate this episode to my gramps, Ivan Lee Gregory. Rest in peace, old man, and thank you for everything you've given me. Despite the topic of this show, death, we had a lot of fun with it. Me and Jeff were joined in the studio by a good friend of the show, Jake Wagner, a.k.a. Decoy One. Jake is a graphic designer and mural artist from Seattle. We start off the show by talking to my friend Rob Cole about being a first call attendant for close to 11 years and maybe picking up 1,100 dead bodies. We discuss the state of hospice and old folks' homes from a first-eye perspective, and we listen to a song by Connor Oberst called I Don't Want to Die in the Hospital. We go through a list of celebrities' last words, and these are exciting. Tupac's will shock you. Also, we go over the story and listen to a song from the recently uncovered old punk before punk was punk band, Death. We are proud to bring you this episode, and we love doing this show. So thanks a lot for listening, and until I talk to you next time, stay alive.
The problem is you're probably going to leave this in to make me look like an ass.
Exactly. Welcome back to Candy Teeth Radio.
It's the death episode.
It's the death episode.
Very, very good intro, guys. Good intro. Love it.
Keeping it happy.
Candy Teeth Radio, the only podcast in the world featuring Jeremy Gregory and Jeff Wheat.
That's correct.
That's right. But today we have a
very bold statement.
Special guest. Very special. Olympics type special.
That's right.
Jake Wagner, a.k.a. Decoy.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
Yeah.
It's good to be here.
You're one of the first people we had twice.
All right. I'm in the two times category now.
Two times.
It's a very select group of...
Yeah, you're the only resident.
Yeah, I'm almost a resident now.
Oh, that's close.
Twice. Yeah.
Don't fuck up.
Three times.
Don't fuck it up.
All right, I'm going for three.
So the reason I decided to make this the death episode is because my grandpa finally passed away. Mm-hmm. And me and Jeff went to his funeral, mm-hmm. and I knew I was going to be talking about it. And so I decided to focus on death and like find some other little things to talk about. One of the things is I have a friend that used to be the guy that picks up dead bodies.
Corner?
Nope. Like dad dies on the toilet.
Goes to the house and gets it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all different. You think that'd just be crazy. It's a different kind of person.
Yeah.
To be able to do that.
For sure. Yeah.
To deal with dead bodies probably two or three times a day.
Right.
And especially when it's like that person's like safe place at their house or whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's different when you're at the hospital and they come there and like, we did all we could for you and it didn't work out. But like when you're like going to like pick them out of their bedroom or off the living room couch or whatever, like that's and with the family found them and this is, that's burly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he had a, they had an opening at the job one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I was looking for work, and I was like, I could totally do that. I'm a fucking grown ass man. And then, and at the time, I was working part time at the flower delivery, delivering flowers to the flower shops.
Yeah.
And I had some flowers I had to pick up that were rotten. and I couldn't do it. It was so gross. It was the most disgusting smell. I was gagging in my mouth, almost puking.
Oh.
And I was like, well, maybe I can't do that job.
Yeah, you probably won't be able to deal with a dead body if you...
No.
Yeah, because flowers are like the prettiest thing in the world. And then like dead bodies are like... not everyone's the prettiest people in the world.
Ew. Like, no, but the flowers aren't pretty after they're rotten.
No,
but they're burly.
They start as the best thing.
Yeah, I get
and
it.
And then they're so burly after.
Yeah.
So like, imagine where a person could start not as good as a flower.
Oh, it's so bad. But so I thought we'd call him real quick and see if we can get a story or two out of him.
All right, then.
So I'm going to give him a little ring-a-ding-a-jangle.
Hopefully he's not, like, on the job right now.
No, no, he doesn't work there anymore. That's why I can talk about it.
Oh, okay, cool. He's like, hang on, I got to put this bag down.
So, what, can I help you? The phone's underneath his ear and his shoulder.
Hey, what's up?
Hold on. All right. Ah, don't drop it.
Hey, hang on, let me just throw this stiff in the truck.
All right, so here we go. Calling Rob Cole. Oh, what's up, Rob Cole?
What's going on?
I'm just at this Candy Teeth Radio podcast with my friend Jake Wagoner and...
How you doing?
What's up?
And Jeff Weig.
What's up, Rob?
What's up, Jeff? How you doing?
Good.
Radical.
I love the show. I admit it's been a while since I've listened, but I like all the episodes. I've always wanted to say, long-time listener, first time caller. How you doing, Jeremy?
Dude, the old Tom Likas type shit.
So do you think the Hawks are going to take that? Never
fight. Take the pennant? Yeah.
So, we were talking about death, right? Because this is the death episode. And it made me think of you. Every time I hear the word death, I think of you.
Rad. Okay.
Not because you look like that or anything.
I like it. You're like, stop doing that.
What's that?
You're like, stop doing that. Anyways, I think of you just because of your job. And I wanted to see if, or your old job. And so what was the title of the old job?
First call attendant or removal technician is the most common, like first call attendant would be the most, like, I guess, professionally framed kind of thing, yeah.
Right.
And so you show up when somebody dies, like, wherever, and then they call... They like my dad dies, and then I call the ambulance or something. I call somewhere. I call 911.
Yeah, well, a lot of that's circumstantial. See, if it was an expected death, and the medical examiners already knew that you were like either super old or ill, and they didn't feel the need to do like their own investigation,
right?
Which is more often the case. Like if somebody's super old, and like. So once that happens, once the proper, like, people are contacted, then somebody calls the funeral home, and at that point, I would be sent out. In a traditional, like, ma-and-pa funeral home setting, which I worked for both, for 11 years I worked for a large corporate entity, and then I also worked briefly for, like, a ma-and-pa funeral home, so I've kind of seen both sides of that.
Yeah.
Which, like, the family-owned funeral home model is more like what people think of, like the Six Feet Under show kind of emphasized that. They showed the other side of it a little bit, and often in kind of a not tongue-in-cheek, but, like, I don't know, they had their own leanings put into that kind of there. But, yeah, I've kind of seen both sides of that. So like traditionally the funeral director would handle all of that. Like if you have like a mom and pop funeral home, the funeral director would come out and pick the person up and bring them to the funeral home, and then they would proceed to run the process the death certificate and do everything that happens afterward. If the larger an organization gets, the more compartmentalized and specialized everything gets. So you kind of need, and if you're covering like the entire like Western Washington, Puget Sound area, and you have a fleet, you have a need for like a specialized like group that did just what I did for 11 years. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, even smaller family-owned funeral homes will need somebody just to do what I did. Be a first call attendant because, and like helping out with other stuff like running death certificates and shit. In 11 years, I don't know the exact, I didn't like keep a count, but I'm guessing I did between 8 and 11,000 calls.
So, whoa. Wow.
To give you an idea of how many, of how much, like what this looked like.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It was 12-hour shifts, 3 days a week. And going all over the place. So,
how many on average would you do a day?
Depending. Sometimes you might get like two from the medical examiner because like the King County medical examiner, you know, it's King County. So it's major. There's a lot of activity happening.
Yeah.
On days like that, like it's because you have two cots in the van. And if you are like next, if you're on Pill Hill in Seattle, there's hospitals all over the place. They can just call you and say, hey, we got another one at Swedish. And then, like, or you pick one up at Swedish and they're like, hey, now there's one at Virginia Mason. Go to Virginia. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, potentially you could get like 10 in like 12 hours.
Wow.
Like, and I work like, my longest shift was like 19 hours. Like, just going all over the place.
What? 19, like, 19 hours?
Well, that was really that was unusual, circumstantial. Yeah. Like there was no other like that
like
was
Halloween just, or something.
Like a weird, freakish day where like.
Did somebody that you work with die?
No, they just like died of not wanting to come to work.
Yeah.
So like I don't know. Like it's like any job. There's like times, not any job, but there's jobs where there's times where it's like you work a double or something.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what that was.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But yeah, it was, pretty intense.
So, if you did that many, there has to be some crazy stories and like.
Well, there are, yeah, of course. You've seen everything, but another thing you have to be mindful of, not to like burst anybody's bubble, but
yeah.
Like, say, even if I didn't want, like maybe I want to get back into this at some point, but even if I didn't, just as a matter of, like, you have to be mindful about the way that you go into it, because a lot of times people are like, what's the most, you know, like, horrendous shit you've ever seen or whatever.
Right.
And, like, if I, like, launch into, like, stories that are like, specific to somebody's situation really, like, sensitive about something, because, like, I'm going into people's houses and stuff.
Yeah, I get it.
And I'm seeing, like, family dynamics and shit, and like all of this stuff, and wow. Like if I sit there and like do that here,
yeah,
and then like in a few years, like if I end up doing this again, and then like now I'm in like your house, and it's like your relative, and it's like, oh, this is the dude who was like out like telling stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I'd beat your ass if you told my relative story.
Activity around it, but like in a general sense. Yeah, totally. You see every situation. If it's in this case, if it's like a suicide accident, like a traumatic death, like an accident or a murder or something like that.
Yeah.
You would be picking them up from the medical examiners, with some exceptions. Sometimes if the MEs aren't going to do an autopsy, they might call us out to
right.
the scene or something like that. But that's really rare. Usually it would be from the medical examiners if it's a situation like that. But even then, you have to, just because everything is, you have to double check everything. You've got to look, make sure that no, like, jewelry was missed, and you have to document the condition of the remains when you pick them up. And so it can still be pretty Like it's real.
You know? Yeah.
You're seeing it all.
That's right. Crazy.
And so do you feel like you take any of that in, though? Like, it seems like, because I'm like a pretty open person, and it feels like if I did that kind of job, I would be taking too much in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. In hindsight, because now there's been a couple years since I stopped doing it, and I'm already like that anyway, like super kind of introspective. Yeah, like being around grief more than any, like you do get used to a certain aspect of like anything takes on a kind of a banality after a while. But like, but the grief aspect of being around that all the time, you're not there being like a grief counselor, but it's kind of a delicate balancing act where you have to acknowledge the situation and where people are at and kind of get a read of like, where that family and where the people are at the time, like say if you're doing a house call.
Yeah.
But like you also have to like be clear and keep this moving, and in that way make it easier to like you know what's going on, like just you make this thing proceed. You're not in a hurry, you're there to listen, but yeah, just being around that all the time, not so much the decedents. But I guess, I don't know, like, it's hard to say if it, like, adds to, it depends on the person. I don't think it, like, added to, like, my depression or anything, and I don't think that it has really changed fundamentally, like, any kind of spiritual aspect, because you still don't know what the experience is of a person when they die, but right. It definitely might have changed the way that I look at, culture and the way that death is handled within our culture, which
and how
is kind of a larger thing. I mean, that gets into like I don't know, capitalism, industrialism.
Yeah,
That gets into big stuff. You know, business, like
big business. Yeah,
death and what to do with that. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like nowadays, most people are cremated here in the States. Especially, but I imagine everywhere, and that's for cultural and economic reasons. Like economically, it's kind of the way to go. But then culturally too, the way people's ideas around death change, where the importance of like burial, the symbolism of that, and the monument of like you know all of that is kind of changing. Often you'll hear people just be like, "Oh no, just." Cremate me, you know what I mean? Whatever's easiest on my family, you know, because it's expensive, and often you see families that, like, didn't really plan and, like, didn't really think about it because they just kind of put it out of their minds. It's kind of, that's kind of a cultural aspect, too.
Yeah, for sure.
And,
most people don't want to talk about death.
It's interesting. Yeah. There's a lot to think about.
Yeah. That's crazy. Ooh, hold on, I gotta breathe.
Yeah.
I said, hold on, I gotta breathe.
yeah. In the spirit of the theme of the show, you should breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep exactly. What do you think about death? Like, what do you think is going to happen to you when you die?
Well, I guess maybe it's kind of vague. If I had my choice, I would be put in the soil without any kind of a barrier, other than like cloth. And I would rather be away from a city, as far as like what I imagine spiritually to happen has to do with like reciprocity and has to do with like a closed metabolic cycle, meaning like the fabric of life on Earth, like the cycle of everything going back into a closed cycle, which like our current techno-industrial situation we're in is a metabolic rift. That's a Marxist or Marxian term, meaning that like the waste does not feed back into the system. And so now we have an Anthropocene extinction event. There's another death name. So we're in a mass extinction event, and it's a runaway problem that's just exponentially grown over the last several centuries. Spiritually, I guess, I would prefer to be placed directly in the soil somewhere off. And like, but there's another part of me that is just like, yeah, just whatever's easiest on my family, because I don't know, like, I'm kind of torn about that.
Yeah.
Because of the situation being what it is. There's also an aspect of like, because that idea that I'm talking about, just like being placed in the soil, no
coffin,
no barrier or anything like
that.
It's
totally illegal.
Is now being marketed as like, quote, like green burial. And what? Sometimes it's like even more expensive. Sometimes it's cheaper, but it's like organic, where it becomes a marketing niche.
Yeah, totally.
And that becomes this thing where it can turn into its own weird perversion of itself.
Yeah.
Like marketing purposes.
Dude, everything.
At the same time, everything's it's a real thing. Crazy. Like, if you want to be placed in the soil without a concrete vault, which is traditionally the norm, if you're going to be buried. And way less people get embalmed nowadays. It still happens. Embalming is still a popular, it's a craft. It's an old, like, tradition. It's a popular, it's an art, you could say. But a lot more people, I think, at least here, are moving away from that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be embalmed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. Like, as far as, like,
who knows?
Experientially, if you're getting into, like what that experience, I just leave that open. I have no idea. I'll find out. I'll wait my turn.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what that looks like. I mean, there's people who speculate with, like, quantum physics and, like, is there, like, a soul in the quantum physics sense.
Right.
And try and, like, you know what I mean? So, like, there's a lot of different ways you can, like, postulate on that, or, you know, speculate on that, but, like, I don't know.
Yeah, nobody knows, right?
No.
Nope. I have ideas.
Yeah, I have ideas, too.
Yeah.
I'm making up stuff to believe.
What's that?
I said I'm making up my own things to believe.
Sure.
Yeah, totally. Works good.
Because I'm the boss of this one.
Yeah, cool.
Well, anyways, we'll let you get back to your homework.
All right, cool.
Reading or whatever. Thanks a lot for the...
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, Rob.
Yeah.
Keep me in mind.
Yeah, for sure. We got to get you in here.
And not just about death, either.
I'm just saying we got to get you in here just as a guest.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Just to talk. That'd be fun.
Got my number.
I got your number, buddy.
All right.
Thanks, everybody. See you later. Tonight. Stay alive.
Good night.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Bye. Later. Yeah, that was little Rob Cole, uh-huh. Dude. Uh-huh. That's a dude I used to skate with back when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
It's always funny when you hear about, like, I mean, there's business in everything, you know?
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny because you don't think about it, and then he's talking about just being wrapped up, and you're like, yeah, you know, that's kind of maybe a thought I've had too, you know. And then it's like, oh, well, that's green, and now it's organic and vegan, and it costs all this shit, and it costs more.
No,
you know,
and there's, you know, and then there's
no, because they're gonna make up something that's gonna make it cost more, and then it's gonna be this niche market,
right? And then, you know, there's like all these guys that like train their whole life to be the like apprentice to the guy that like carves the wooden coffin,
yeah,
you know,
putting people out of business too.
And then that dude is like, what? It costs more. Like, I spend like 3 months making this coffin, yeah, per person.
Yeah.
And that, you wrap them in some cloth? Fuck you.
More proof that just everything's crazy.
Yeah.
And we have no shame.
Yeah, it's always going to be like that. That business. No, that big business will come.
The business model of
death, lurking. Yeah.
Or of everything, but in this circumstance.
Like, let me see. Everybody dies. That's what, when I worked at the flower place,
yeah.
That was one of the things. Like, there's always going to be births, weddings, and deaths. So, like, their business is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that somebody's always going to need. I always think about, like, thinking about businesses and different ideas. And, like kids is what comes to mind a lot. Like, everybody's going to be having kids.
Yeah.
Never going to stop. Unless some crazy thing happens that we all die.
Yeah.
And then even then, people are going to you either won't need a job or you're one of the last survivors and people are going to start repopulating the world.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it's one of those things.
And their kids are going to need shoes.
It's like owning a bar or something. Everybody's going to get drunk. You're always going to have customers unless you have some, you know, shithole, but more or less you're in a business that's never, you never have to, you know.
Yeah. You got customers. It's done. Yeah.
They want
it's
what done. You got.
Yeah. They want what you got.
Yeah.
Hey, you want what I got?
But you got what I need. I'm actually glad that this is the death episode because I think it's one of those topics that no one wants to talk about. And he actually brought up a good point of like, lots of families don't want to plan for the death of like whoever it might be, like
right.
a sick relative or your son or daughter, their parents.
Yeah, anybody like, thinking of it, you don't want to think of them dead.
You don't want to think about it, so you want to plan, and then they end up and it ends up being this whole thing or whatever, but. Yeah, it's a good episode. I'm actually glad
that you're here for this one.
Yeah, for this one. It's been something that I've had on my mind talking to people, and most people don't want to talk about like the subject of death just because they either don't want to think about their own death or they don't want to talk about the death of someone close to them. And it's like it's a reality that we all have to face. So I think the more that you actually bring to light all this, like the funny side of it.
Yes.
Which, you know, there's funny sides.
Well, you have to embrace the funny side of that. Yeah.
But then it's a very serious thing that, anyways.
That's what I noticed with my grandpa passing is, so he just turned 90, right?
Yeah.
And so he had his whole life. He was a wonderful human being. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody, the funeral was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it was just like everybody, and he's just like a quiet old man, you know, like soft.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's all people talked about, and how much he affected people when he's just sitting there. You know,
it's crazy.
He affects people like with a smile. You know what I'm saying?
He's that dude that you know is a good dude.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody does. Yeah. And every time they meet him, everybody just like likes him or wants to touch him.
Yeah, like,
you know,
gravitate to his energy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I always thought he's like one of those dudes on the Dark Crystal, the good guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're like, he's one of those dudes. Him passing after my whole life, right? Like I've watched everybody's grandparents die since I was a little kid, and my grandparents were just there the whole time.
Yeah,
you know,
I never even knew either of my grandfathers.
Yeah, I know. That's what a lot of people say. They're like, "You're lucky," you know. And I'm like, "Yeah, hell yeah." And so that part put me more at ease, but also it made me realize, like, after he passed, because we've been waiting. You know, he's been going to die for like four different times.
Yeah. The last episode I was on, you talked about going to visit him and how like it was pretty hard to see him because he couldn't really do anything for himself.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure. I think that was probably a year ago at least.
Yeah, yep. So that's what I'm saying. This guy just hung on all crazy. It was really kind of impressive. And then when it's time to go, it's time to go. But it made me realize like waiting for him to die, I was just thinking I'm going to be like, it's going to be, I don't even know how I'm going to deal with this, you know?
Yeah.
And there's so much about him having a good life and a long life. And like after the funeral and seeing all the people talk about him and the same thing that you're thinking, but you have more of an insight. Like I was around him my whole life, you know, like more than other people. Yeah. It was weird to not know what's going to be like. And then when it happened, it was nowhere as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. You know?
It was bad, but it's not, it was nowhere. It wasn't, I thought I was going to fall apart. Like, how am I going to, you know, after all this time. Well, and then I started thinking I'm not lucky too. Like they lived for 90 years. Like they were married for 71 years.
Yeah.
Nobody else had to have their grandparents that long and then have them taken away.
I mean, that's true.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because I actually think about that a lot. Like, it's almost that stupid old, you know, better to love and lost than never loved kind of thing. That it's like, but of course, it's better to like spend time and have those memories.
Yeah,
because I think that pain, it's like kind of like a pain slash like good moment, but then you miss them, and so it's like this weird. You can't really put like one feeling on it or whatever, but
no,
it's way better to have.
It's that. All of them,
yeah,
really.
Sure.
You know, it's way better to have that. So it's like,
oh yeah.
You know, you want to spend as much time with your grandpa
and yeah.
be glad that you have. And that's the thing is that I think, you know, my grandpa passed away, I think it's about 3 years ago now.
Oh, that's not that long ago.
Yeah.
Three or 4 years ago. And same scenario. I knew him all my childhood, you know, and it's like, going to his funeral was kind of a similar thing. It was like so sad. You know, I couldn't even barely made it through the day.
Yeah.
But you realize all the good shit and all the like Christmases that I had with him. And
yeah.
All that kind of cool stuff that a lot of people didn't have, you know?
So exactly. It's
like you were lucky. You weren't unlucky.
Yeah.
You know? So it's one of those things you can't really put a feeling on it. It's like all of them.
No, because it's all of them at different times.
Yeah. Like, and it's like through the day, you're like a mess.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, you're happy. Oh, he's so, you know, such a good person. And then I was even like forced to question myself and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing?
That's what it's about.
You know? Yeah. It's like this whole crazy day of just, and then of course it lasts for longer than just the day, but the funeral day is like the most gnarly.
Right.
It's just, it's intense.
When he first passed, I was like happy, you know, because he was in this just gross zombie land thing where they just were like rolling dead people around that didn't know it yet.
Oh, so weird.
And like they sit in the hall until they eat and stuff. So there's just like wheelchairs of these dying people like sitting in a chair.
Like we're sitting in chairs right now. They're just in wheelchairs, and then there's like six more right over there, and they're all just like
waiting to be fort.
And it's not like they're like even in front of like in a room in front of a TV. It's like there's literally between the nurse's desk and like the door to like the next adjacent the room.
Yeah.
Like just like
in the sitting there in the hallway. Spot. It's crazy.
In the hallway. It's weird.
It's really weird.
And just looking at you when you
and they're out. All it's all big business style too.
Yeah.
That's another thing that's the same.
That's
same thought.
The people that got into that business.
Mm-hmm. They're probably in both, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, we just rolled in there, too.
Oh, me and Jeff went there to find
security.
Him. Yeah, and I'm crazy because it's, like, at the end, you know? Like, this is, like, the day before he died or something.
Yeah,
Saturday.
And we went in there, and we went through the whole place, like, looking, because I went the wrong way, because I'm old.
We walked by this desk, like, three times.
And they're just sitting there. And remember, there's zombie plants everywhere.
Yeah.
Like
you guys look like a couple of sketchy guys.
Yeah,
like,
totally. And we're just walking around. That's what I'm saying.
You're like, we're just able to walk around here. We're hella sketchy looking.
Yeah, like I walk in a grocery store. It gets way worse than that. Yeah.
Like I had like a bow and arrows with me and shit.
Yeah.
I was open carrying
an eye patch.
I was open carrying my AK.
Yeah,
they didn't care.
And a trench coat. No,
I actually used to work in in high school. I think I was 15 or 16. I worked in a retirement home and like was a waiter.
Uh-huh.
Basically, they had a choice of three things that they pre-chose or whatever.
Yeah.
And I served them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a weird, it's a total different world in there, you know, because when you're like, I was like 15 or 16, so I was like oblivious to a lot of it. And
mm-hmm.
Stoned most
just doing your
time.
Work, yeah.
Just there, fucking hating my job, you know. Like, just
eat this, you old reptile.
Yeah, you know, but reflecting back on the experience, like actually kind of remembering some of these people that were, you know, not all of them are like that, but you know, there is a handful of people that, they just get wheeled in, and you know, it's sad, you know. So
it is sad, man.
It's a crazy.
I hope I wrap it up before that one, honestly.
Yeah, I you know, I think everybody hopes to just, you know, peaceful in my bed at home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, come on.
Or, you know, being crazy doing something you love, I guess, would be another way to go. But, just kind of waiting in a nursing home would be pretty gnarly.
It's weird.
Yeah. Because you're waiting.
Yeah.
You know it's coming.
Yeah, that's all you're doing.
But, you
that's
know,
all you're there for.
You so
know.
Let's put you in the, like, warehouse of all the other people that are doing the same thing. It's crazy to me.
I don't want to die in the hospital, man.
You gotta take me back outside.
Let's play it. Let's play the Connor Over song real quick. This is I Don't Want to Die in the Hospital.
You have it pulled up?
No.
Oh, hell yeah.
This is magic.
I don't wanna hear all these factory sounds, looking like a girl in a sleeping gown. I don't wanna die in the hospital, you gotta take me back outside. Can when you make the sound to distract the nurse before I take a ride in that long black hearse. I don't want to die in the hospital. You gotta take me back outside. Ah, help me get my boots on. Help me get my boots on. Help me get my boots back on. Help me get my boots on. Help me get my boots on. Help me get my boots back on. I gotta go, go, go. Spend another lonesome day. I don't wanna die in the hospital. You gotta take me back outside. They don't let you smoke and you can't get drunk. All there is to watch are these soap operas. I don't wanna die in the hospital. You gotta take me back outside. Can you get this tube out of my arm? Morphin' in my blood like a slow sex song. I don't wanna die in the hospital. You gotta take me back outside. Help me get my boots on, help me get my boots on, help me get my boots back on. Help me get my boots on, help me get my boots on, help me get my boots back on. I gotta go, 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 cause I don't have long. I don't Is it still a world at my windowsill? All there ever was, I remember still. I don't wanna die in this hospital. You gotta take me back outside. Don't know when it's day or when it's night. All I ever see are fluorescent lights. I don't wanna die in this hospital. You gotta take me back outside. They give me all these flowers and these big balloons, but I don't wanna stay in this little room. Stars still in the sky. Is that fat moon on the rise? Feel the earth against my feet as the cold wind calls for me. I don't wanna die in this hospital. No, I don't wanna die in this hospital. No, I ain't gonna die in this hospital. You gotta take me back outside.
So you got a story. What's the story?
I'm going to tell you, man. I'm going to tell you all about this shit. We're wrapping it up.
The anticipation.
I mean, we're not wrapping it up. Yeah, yeah.
It's killing me.
Okay, here's the deal. We're going to get into some famous last words of celebrities.
Okay. This goes pretty well with death. Their famous words right before.
Yeah, the last thing they said.
Really?
Last words.
Okay.
Let me grab my assistant. Okay.
You can't grab your assistant like that. We're going to get sued.
One of the best things is, she can't prove it.
It's just audio recording.
Guess what I'm doing. Guess what I'm doing.
Squeeze.
Stop. Ow.
Fresh.
Humphrey Bogart.
Okay.
Guess. Wait a minute. We're going to play the guessing game.
Oh. He said,
no idea.
When they were like,
I didn't know
do you want fries with that? He said, yes.
No, I should have never switched from scotch to martinis. That's the last thing he said on the planet.
Wow.
I like that one. Joan Crawford. Damn it. Don't you dare ask God to help me. I love it. Because they're like, oh,
they're
God.
Like praying for her.
Oh, God, help her.
Don't you fucking do that.
Curses on you. Thomas Edison.
Okay.
This one's good. It's very beautiful over there.
Wow. Nuh-uh.
Yep.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Really?
He wasn't going to hell.
Wow. Well, I mean...
Or maybe that was... He just said that when really...
Just demons and crazy shit.
He's insane and he loved that shit? He thought it was great?
No, he just wanted that to be his last words.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this to fuck with everybody's head.
Forever.
And then I'm going to wait 15 minutes and then actually die. Well, I guess they would know because they stopped breathing.
Never mind. He just waited. He
never
just
mind. Sits there and I'm waits. I'm an idiot. I don't know what a podcast is.
I like that try. I like that. I like that try.
My theories are irrelevant.
You'd be like, What's up, Jesus?
I knew you were an alien. So let's get down to Malcolm X.
Oh shit! All right.
Let's cool it, brothers.
No. Nuh-uh.
You vote no on that? You're like, that's a made-up one.
Seriously?
He didn't say brothers. He said brothers. Let's cool it, brothers.
That's awesome.
That's a good last word.
Because he started hella shit, and then he was about to die. He's like, all right.
No, we got to chill out.
Just chill out. Nobody heard him.
That's crazy.
Robin Williams?
Mm-mm.
Ooh.
How does he have that, Scott? This is going to be fake. There's no way he got a last words.
Yeah, how would anyone know?
How would anybody know?
Two suicide notes.
Yeah, two suicide notes.
One says, I'm done with that. And one says, time to go. Oof. That's it. That's a wrap.
Time to go.
I'm done with that.
He actually, that, like, I don't know, something about Robin Williams' suicide actually, like, hit kind of close to home for me. I don't know, it was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know if it was for you guys.
No, like, I think a lot of people.
Sometimes, yeah. Like, famous people, you know, you have that weird attachment to them. And some people think it's kind of stupid. But
No.
Like, the childhood and the memories.
Absolutely.
Like, it's the way that they, like, made you feel and kind of
discover
something, whatever that might have been, or see something through a different, like, lens or whatever. I think...
Or it reminds you of a certain time of your life or whatever.
For some, just really.
One of the things that got me into art was Mindy making greeting cards. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Mork and Mindy. See, like,
that's funny because I didn't know that you did that. Mm-hmm. Or if I did, I forgot. Wait,
yeah, right.
And you just said it and I was like, ooh, that's cool. Like that just inspired me just when you said that. That's crazy.
But all those, and then you feel like, it's like with podcasts, like with listening to a podcast, like every day of a certain person, you start to develop like a friendship. It's fake, but a friendship, like you're part of their life, and you feel like they're part of yours.
Yeah,
they're telling you all about themselves for a whole hour.
Yeah, and you're listening to it. You're like into it. You can't wait to see what they're doing today.
Yeah.
And so when it's daily, you really build that. Then you have dreams about just having a podcast with Adam Carolla and you get all weird and then you guys start taking off your pants. Anyways. Side note.
That was more insight into the mind of Jeremy.
The last one. This is the champion of the world. Tupac Shakur. Tupac Shakur. You know who that is?
Yes.
West Coast rapper. He was real good back in the 90s.
I wasn't even into like a lot of rap back then, but I actually liked his stuff.
That's because he has beautiful girl eyes.
No, he's just, he likes it for his
beautiful girl eyes.
Yeah,
is that what you said?
He just had good music. He was on another plane, way above everybody else.
Yeah.
And that flow, though.
It was the eyelashes.
He did have a nice set of eyes.
And the backwards headband or bandana with the knot in the front.
And the smile like, fuck you, I'm rich as fuck. I used to be a dancer. And if you want to fight, I'm going to lay on my back and kick. That's his whole style. That's a Tupac style. Big Brother style. So I looked up a little something about Tupac's last words and I got the whole story. Right?
Okay. There's a story.
There's a whole story. Because remember he got shot up in the car?
Yeah.
With the big dude. Mm-hmm. Suge Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So. So this is the first responder cop, right? That's talking to Tupac.
Okay.
Shows up on the scene.
Right.
So I'm looking at Tupac and he's trying to yell back at Suge. And I'm asking him, who shot you? What happened? Who did it? And he's just kind of ignoring me. He was making eye contact with me here and there, but he's trying to yell at Suge. And I kept asking over and over, who did this? Who shot you? And basically, he kept ignoring me. And then I saw in his face, in his movements, all of a sudden, in a snap of a finger, he changed. And he went from struggling to speak, being non-cooperative, to an I'm at peace type of thing. Just like that. He went from fighting to, I can't do it. Ooh. And when he made that transition, he looked at me, and he's looking right into my eyes, and that's when I looked at him and said one more time, who shot you?
Yeah.
He looked at me, and he took a breath to get the words out, and he opened his mouth, and I thought I was actually going to get some cooperation, and then the words came out, fuck you. That's the whole thing. After that, he started gurgling and slipping out of consciousness. At that point, an ambulance showed up, and he went into unconsciousness forever.
Whoa.
That's Tupac's last words
gangster
were,
thing I've
fuck
ever heard
you,
to the cop.
I'm trying to talk to Shug, man.
Wow.
Shug, you gonna get him, man. You gonna get him. Shug, you better get him.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
It's a pretty good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like it.
I see the why that was the last on the list.
Well, wait. No, there's one better.
Oh,
I got one left.
One left?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Elvis Presley.
I see the notes and I see Elvis on there.
Elvis Presley has better ones than that.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to the bathroom to read.
Oh.
Jesus.
Who cares? You stole rock and roll, motherfucking die on the toilet.
Ugh.
Interesting.
Another tragic end to. Like, you know, Elvis in his day, he was like, he was the fucking king. Dude.
Yep.
You know? Of the world of music.
Right. Of the world, period, at one point.
Yeah, like everybody. And that's how he goes. It's so, like, so many, like, good fucking artists and musicians. Just, it's, like, so tragic to die on so he died on the toilet?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
You never even knew that?
I knew that I didn't know it was on the toilet. No,
yeah, yeah. That was that's, like, one of the things. Like, it's a well-known fact for some people. But nobody knows what he said before, though.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to go in there and read.
Damn it, we're out of paper.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, it's not so good. So
see,
sad.
The funnier side of death, you know? There's got to make it a little fun, you know? It's yeah, there we go. I like where this is going. Candy teeth.
Candy teeth death episode.
Death episode.
Another thing that made me want to make this the death episode was David Bowie.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He just passed on. And it overtook the internet like crazy.
The most ever.
Yeah, the most ever that dude got up.
Well, he's that dude that like...
Everybody.
Went through every... Like, did so many different genres of music that everybody liked at least one of his songs, if not more. You know, he's like that type of dude.
Yeah.
So, he, you know.
I went back and listened to the greatest hits I have on my computer that I never listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Remember,
oh, he's that... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I never really, like, searched him out or anything. I'm in a labyrinth or whatever.
Yeah. One of my favorite songs is Fame. Like, that Fame song.
Oh, I love that song, like, dude.
I think it's probably one of his best songs. At least for me.
David Bowie did the Fame song?
Yeah.
Fame.
I'm gonna live forever.
No, not that song.
I'm gonna learn how to fly. Fame! Fly! No, I was mixing it into.
That was a nice. I like that mashup. Nice little mashup, guys. Between the intro and that mashup, you're well on your way.
Dude, you guys want to make a song?
Yes,
I want to make a song. Okay. If you want to make a song, let me know though.
What do you think about that? That's another one of those, like, you know, people get mad that, well, you guys don't know who that guy is. It's weird, like we were kind of talking a little bit, totally off subject. A different subject what we were talking about, but it's really weird what people concern themselves with.
Yeah.
Like the David Bowie died and a lot of people pour out all these emotions and he gets, you know, it's a huge remembering of like what song you liked, what he did for you.
This picture.
And then there's these fucking haters that come on and they're like, you didn't fucking know him. Like, oh, dude, just shut up. Shut up.
Well, that's
like, are
just
you that bitter that you gotta fucking hate on people?
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to like mourn in their own little way.
Right.
But it's not their fault though. They're what? Douchebags. Like, if, you know what I'm saying? If you're a douchebag, you can't help that.
Yeah, I guess you can't help
I
it. Can,
I guess you really can't help being a douchebag.
And the thing is, too, is it's like Facebook is the thing that, like, made the whole world get, have now they have a spot where they can say whatever they want.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they think that it's like, well, I'm a douchebag, and I think douchebaggy things, so I should put my douchebaggy thoughts here.
Yeah.
You know, because this is what you do.
Yeah, I should drop my douchebag.
Some people shouldn't be on the internet. Or, like, go ahead, get on the internet and use it and learn or whatever the fuck you want to do with it.
Search for things.
But we don't want to hear you talking shit about how someone,
didn't
know David Bowie, so he shouldn't be posting their favorite picture of him with the lightning bolt or whatever.
That's just weird.
Like, artists, you know. It's,
yeah, I get it. There's a lot of that, different ways. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, art sometimes affects you in a way that you can't really put your finger on, you know? And so, like, this is an attempt by people to, like, understand that in themselves, you know, by putting whatever they think, you know, posting whatever they think, whatever affected them the most from it, you know? Makes sense. But there's always going to be haters for something.
Yeah, any for everything. Yeah. There's going to be haters for everything, especially with the internet. The internet was like, hey, we can have haters for everything. All kinds of genres.
Hate.
So, what do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living?
Yeah. Like, what's your job? I know you have like, a job. Like, one of those, what do they call them?
The thing is you could call it a day job because I do it during the day, but I only do it two to three days a week.
So it doesn't count.
It's a permanent, it's like a, I work there steadily, so I work at a, we do a bunch of things, but I'm the, like, lead graphic designer at an architecture / interior design / marketing. So I do a lot of the marketing stuff. Yeah. And I also do a little bit of the interior design stuff. And then, like, you know, just internal stuff, all the internal, like, presentations and a flyer, or business card, or, you know, whatever, update the website, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's actually a really cool job because, you know, I'm someone who I can't do the same thing over and over. And you get in that you don't want to go to work type, you know, thing, and then it gets depressing and you're driving to work and you hate it. Whereas, like, I drive to work, and even if I don't want to do the work there, it's only a couple days a week. But most of the time I'm doing what I want to do, so it's cool.
Right. And it's artistic and, like, challenging.
Yeah. Well, it's doing, like, signage is one of the stuff that I do. So you design some logo or whatever, and it goes into all this branding, and then it's, like, put into signage, and it's a different, it's a physical form of designing instead of digital. And I actually like the physical form of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, digital stuff's cool, and I actually do a lot of digital art, but it's probably my least favorite thing out of what I love doing it, but on the scale of what I really like doing, it's probably on the more of the bottom end.
How do you want to die?
How do I want to die?
How do you want to die?
I would say probably just, like, you know, peacefully in my sleep, old age.
Yep.
Not with any diseases.
Like, that sounds
cancers
good.
And shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Weird things attacking my body, dementia.
Just like, huh, I'm tired.
Yeah. You know,
I think I'm going to go to sleep.
Go to sleep. Yeah. You know?
Yep.
I think that would probably be the chillest.
Yeah, ditto.
That's the thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing is when you have some disease or something like you're talking about, like, or some ailment of some kind, then, you know that it's taxing, can be taxing on your family emotionally because they see this happening to you and all that, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, it would be better to just be like, well, I'm just so old that I can't actually move anymore.
I'm just
so old.
So
I'm going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but everything was working up until then, so no one's worried about you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's, because inevitably, like, no matter how much, you know, people can become so inside themselves, especially with, like, phones and everything, you know, like, these days where you're just, like, looking at your phone and
Inverted.
You're not talking to other people.
Yeah.
And, like, you're watching videos and reading a book and, you know, listening to the radio or your iPod, your headphones, whatever.
Yeah.
Everywhere, there's always input. There's no time for introspection or whatever, you know, and that happens a lot these days, and I think that people need to be connected to what's going on with themselves.
Yeah. After seeing my grandpa, he's in the hospice room, right? Sitting in a wheelchair in front of the TV, like where they put him, you know?
Yeah.
The TV's blaring. And when I went in there, it was after my trip, and I just showed up there, you know? And when I went in there and turned it down, he's just all, oh. Like he made it to the elevator.
Thank God. He made it to the elevator.
So, I have a couple more things I want to talk about real quick. This box I have, I'm holding in my hand.
We got to talk about what you have. You have a box in your hand. It's wood. It's got some shit on, some type of writing on the top.
I'm going to hand it to Jake and let him check it out. There you go. Remember the theme.
Do I have to read all this before I use the balls?
No, but if you see something, what does it say? What's the first line say? Say something so the listeners.
The ivory balls contained in this package were carefully inspected before shipment and found to be in perfect condition. Blah, 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 blah. Cold weather, great care. Brunswick Blake, something.
Who cares? Look at it.
What is it? Is it going to jump out at me?
Yeah.
What are they?
Billiard balls.
Oh, yeah, they are, huh?
Made from real elephant tusks.
Wow.
Ugh.
They were my girlfriend's grandfather's.
It's crazy. I was just talking about this.
Does it say anything on there? Check that out, Jeff.
Yeah, there's shit on the inside of the lid here.
There's a bunch of stuff.
Caution, do not use these balls immediately.
It's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? And didn't we find out it was 3 per tusk?
Yeah, it was like, I think you get 3 pool balls for a good size elephant tusk. So one elephant died for those and like 3 other ones, maybe.
That's crazy.
But we got them in a little box.
I know.
Yeah, it's like the biggest animal on the planet, other than like whales or something.
Yeah. It's.
And it says, do not use them immediately. It says reasons why. We advise and urge customers to exercise great care in the treatment of ivory billiard pocket balls. Do not use them until they've been on hand long enough, at least a week, to bring them to the temperature of the room. That's crazy.
Because they'll crack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane? And then you know what they do now? To protect the elephants? Colorize their tusks. I think we've talked about this on the show, but colorize their tusks pink so nobody wants them. And then they're just ivory elephants with big ass pink tusks. We're like, saved you.
It's crazy that, what was it? Because the ivory trade and all that kind of shit was okay. So it's like they're like okay, quote unquote, okay back
in the day, back when these were made.
Yeah, when they made those. And it's another one of those fucking crazy ass things. Like I didn't like, if I look at an elephant, I don't think tusks. Oh, I want to make some shit out of those.
Yeah, give me
that. You know what I mean?
Like, give me the biggest gun I can hold.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, cut down a fucking tree or you know, paint something, you know, do something, not
polish up some marble.
Polish up some marble, you know. It's really like, I don't know, it's just fucking insanity.
Yeah.
It really is when you boil it down to it. It's weird. An elephant had to, like, die, you know. And it definitely wasn't humanely.
Oh,
that elephant did not die of old age to make those.
Yeah, he didn't say, goodnight, elephant children, I'm going to go to sleep. I've had a long life. No.
If I die, don't donate my tusks.
Yeah, donate my tusks to some needy pool player.
Yeah, some needy pool player. It's where they found their way into your
my hands,
your trinkets of things that you have. That's a weird item to have. It's actually like an item of death. It's kind of dark when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like every time
marked caution.
At least me, like I always like I instantly kind of get pulled into this weird place in my head, like that elephant. Like I don't know. It's a weird connection.
Yeah. It's fucked up. Yeah, you can feel it. That's Judy, like, my girlfriend, she has that disease. I'm just saying it's really a gift. But
no, it's
like an openness.
It's a... It sucks and it's cool. It's one of those things where there's pros and cons to it, but
right.
Yeah, that's how, like, yeah, just a lot of things like that. But yeah, that's, I don't know, kind of changed the mood with the ivory. Yeah.
This whole death episode, man, is an up and down ivory, ride.
It's
a roller coaster.
The roller coaster.
So the last thing I was going to talk about,
okay,
is a band called Death.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was gonna ask you if you watched that documentary.
I did.
These guys are fucking awesome.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That whole story is awesome. Yeah. So it's a band from Detroit of three brothers.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure, yeah, three.
And there's the leader that's crazy, the lead singer, like a normal band, and he has like all the concepts, you know,
right?
On their whole area. He was doing all kinds of stuff. He was tripping.
Is it way before their time?
Yeah, what is this?
Yeah, they're like punk. It's like the first punk.
They are basically saying they were the first punk, like before the Ramones and stuff like that.
Before the Ramones, before the Sex Pistols.
Yeah.
All that. There's this black punk rock band in Chicago.
Chicago?
Yeah. And they...
Chicago or Detroit?
Detroit, I mean.
Yeah, I thought it was... Yeah.
Documentary. Yeah, so they...
It's on Netflix, A Band Called Death.
Yeah,
a documentary.
A Band Called Death. Yeah, you need to watch it. It's really cool. So they started in 1973, and 34 years later, somebody retrieved the tapes, all their master tapes from then, and brought them back out. That documentary was made. And so they started the band again without the main crazy brother died, of course.
Right.
Well, it was like from cancer, like lung cancer or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure, but
I'm pretty sure it was something like that. It was like a cancer or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I thought I remember.
He talks about death. The reason he named it Death was because like death is a door, right? And like, and he was talking about the Doors too at the same time, you know. And he's like, we can't use the Doors because the Doors is used. And he said, and I think Jim Morrison was kind of on the same vibe, you know.
Right, yeah.
And he's like, because he understood the door, you know, to the other side, all that shit.
Yeah.
And so he was talking about how death is a door, and how everybody's interested in it, and it's like a part of everybody, and like all these different. And this dude was tripping, but like in a good way.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the stories that was cool in the movie, I'm not going to say too much of it, but one of the stories that was cool in the movie is when they move to a new town and they start putting up flyers, right? And their logo is like a triangle. And so, and they'll use it as the A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they put up all these flyers that just said death with the triangle all over the town, the new town they just moved into. And like the cops show up at their house, and they're like, hey, we don't have gangs around here.
Yeah.
You know, we ain't into that kind of stuff, colored.
Well, part of the reason why they weren't successful was because of their name. Like, they talked about that.
And
like,
they wouldn't switch it.
Yeah, and the dude's like, no, it'll mean something.
Yep.
And then, like, you know, you name your bad, like, and now it's like, it's not this, like, oh yeah, their band's name's Death. Like, it has this cool meaning behind it, but it's not, like, as shocking as that was back in... You know, early 70s or whatever.
Yeah,
that's what I was just thinking.
But yeah, it's like, that's the crazy thing. It's like, you listen to their music now, and it's like, it's that timeless punk that's like, it's, if you heard it now, which they do tour, it's like, it sounds just as good as anything else that's out.
Right,
right, right.
It was like over, that's 40 years ago now? 40 plus years ago?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's crazy. The story is crazy. Yeah. Like, to have that come back and like go into mainstream, like, after 34 years, dude, that's a long time.
That is crazy.
And that guy was right about everything, because he was crazy, like, I'm a prophet. I'm telling all this stuff. It's going to come later. You know, someday somebody will understand.
It'll be cool someday
soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. See you guys later. What up, Jesus?
See?
So anyways, check that one out on Netflix. And we should just play a song real quick for the end.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think there's one, The Politician is the one I think I'll play.
Play it.
Fine.
Push play.
Fine.
Now.
1, 2, 3, now!
Kingdom of fame, like a race at the top, because they wanna be boss. They don't care who they step on, as long as they get along. Politicians in my eyes. They can care less about you, they can care less about me, as long as they up to end, the place that they want to be. They're always wearing false smiles, like they go with the style. Politicians in my eyes.
Yeah, see? Told you.
That was great. I like that song.
Well, it's, you gotta listen to the lyrics. Music's good, but it's about the lyrics. And the way they would make the lyrics, one of the brothers would write it. The lead singer guy would be like working with him on his concept, right? He has the concept. Mm-hmm. And then the other guy's writing the song, asking him, you know, like, what about this? You know, and he's like, yeah. Ooh, that goes perfect with this concept, you know? Like, oh, jumps around the room because he's crazy. I thought that was interesting. Like, it wasn't him writing the songs, which I thought it was when I first...
He's like visualizing it.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, ooh, that'd be perfect. That line's perfect for my director. Song. Yeah, yeah, exactly. The director. The director.
See, it's crazy, like, sometimes people get in a role, you know, like, where they're the lead singer of the band, you know, but really you're the director of the band, but, like, bands don't have directors, so you can't, you know.
So you're the lead singer.
Yeah. So you're the lead singer, you know, but, like, yeah, it's, like, it's just crazy, like, how even the most underground and, like, least populated, you know, or less populated role in the world, you know, like underground punk bands,
mm-hmm.
you know, singers of underground punk bands. Like, there's plenty of those guys in the world and girls, but there's not as many of those as, like, lots of other normal things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, even those people, you know, I totally fucking forgot what I was talking about.
I was just trying to get back to it. I was like, okay, he's going to say a word.
Where is this going? Where is it going?
It's gone.
And you were talking about the lead singer of the band being the director. And then,
oh, yeah, people, you know, you get here to be where even, that's a joke, to be like, oh, well, you're not the, can't be the director, we don't have that, so you're the singer, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if you can, like, sing good or not, like, that's who the singer would be, you think, but it's like, people always get stuck in roles or, like, had to be pigeonholed, you know.
I get, like, where you're getting at.
A band needs a singer.
Let the fucking band have a director. Why don't we have best directors in bands?
Like, if that's like a role that people, because somebody's creative role could really do well to do that. You know, I mean, David Bowie was doing.
Yeah.
You know, like,
right.
He was the director. Like, he could also sing and play instruments.
Yeah.
You know, and write songs, but, like.
And act.
Yeah.
And act.
And he, you know, he wasn't relying on other people to write the song, and, like, as far as that much direction, you know, he was doing the song himself and then directing lots of other shit, but, like, it's still, like, I've noticed that when people have to somehow compromise and fill the role that is expected of them because what they're really doing isn't really fit in the whole situation.
There isn't a spot for that.
Right. Those people always seem to excel, though, you know what I'm saying? Like, David, like, those people always stand out.
Yeah.
In the public eye, you know, because they're doing something different. It's really interesting. And it's always, you know, somebody that's doing something different than the normal way.
Right. Like these guys.
Yeah.
Like what you're talking about.
It's cool.
Nice. Well, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
Hold on, we're gonna go make this song real quick for the ending.
App wrap it.
Or should I do it live? Let's do it live. I'll cut it out if it's stupid. App wrap. Get to the app wrap. App rip. What are you gonna say? What you gonna say?
Thanks for having me.
You got what you're gonna say?
Nope.
Okay, we're ready.
He's just gonna freestyle it, dude. That's what it's all about.
You guys want this beat? Or we always got turkey burgers. My whole last three albums, this beat. Every song.
The last 3 million albums.
But then there's a new one.
Yeah, this one.
Alright, so let's wrap it up. I don't know what I'm gonna say to start it. It's like the main.
Let's wrap it up. Candy Teeth Radio.
That's right.
Let's wrap it up.
Candy Teeth Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Candy Teeth.
Decoy One.
Decoy Candy Teeth.
Stay alive.
Ah! The best fucking thing.
Those are actually pretty badass.
Yeah. You can't help it. You can't help it.
That's like the perfect way to make intros and shit for this.
I love it.
Can you buy, maybe, can you, if you got it for free, if you buy,
oh, no.
If you buy into it, you can probably buy beats.
You can have, you could just, that could be your whole, you could make albums, you could battle people, you could do all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do, you get, the, you mock beats by buying them. It's crazy. I think you can get CDs sent to you. Your face on it. Your Facebook picture.
Your Facebook picture on the cover.
No, it's with your, a car behind you.
It's your driver's license photo.
Ooh, scary. If you want to, I'm going to add this to the end, like afterwards, or maybe a little bit before. So anyways. But if you want to get a hold of Decoy One, you can go to decoyone.com.
Just one dot.
The one's a one, too.
It's D-K-O-Y.
Decoy.
One.
What did I say?
Dot com.
Oh, I spelled it wrong?
No, you just said it. You just didn't spell the word.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. I spelled it D-E-C-O-Y. Oh, yeah, because it's like a,
I get you.
You know, it's graffiti, dude. It's street, you know?
Yeah, I know. You gotta spell it wrong.
When you're from the street.
You have time for extra vowels?
You don't have time for extra vowels.
I saw a tag the other day that said wrong, R-O-N-G. Perfect.
Yes, that's awesome.
Perfect. And I also thought of a good tag name, Yay.
Yay?
Yay.
There you go.
Yay.
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 Yo. Yay, yo. Not yay, yo. God damn it. No flashbacks.
You need to start painting again. Painting some graffiti letters.
Dude, what's up? You want to bring it? I do it all day. I draw it all day.
Yeah. I need to paint something. I haven't painted in a while.
Dude, I'll go paint somewhere.
Doing all this digital stuff.
Digital. If you want to get a hold of Jeff Weig and check out his music, he made the intro and outro to this one. Off model on SoundCloud. And you can listen to all that music. This dude's making music every day while you sleep. And if you want to check out puppets, paintings, prints, anything you like.
And more.
CandyTeethCreative.com. I think that's it. All stay right. Alive.
Stay alive. Very important thing to say at the end of the death episode.
Totally. Just stay alive. Then you don't have to worry about it. Bulls magic.